the ability to handle all of them. I'm going to say a few things before I get started in the message, and the Lord wants me to say them. The Holy Spirit's speaking these words clear to my spirit and heart, so listen to what the Spirit is saying right now. Those words that Gene was blessed us with in singing, thank you again, Gene. Really a treat. I mean that, and I mean that, really. The miracle of saving grace in our souls is a very real thing. The grace of God is never to be considered a light thing. And even an everyday thing, even though we experience and we need the grace of God every single day, don't consider the grace of God as though it's just a simple drink of water, but the very life-giving fountain of life that you need and depend on every single moment of every day. His saving grace is miraculous. His saving grace is necessary. His Spirit to reveal who Jesus is 100% absolutely without doubt that which each and every one of us need. Every single morning we as take the boys to school, we pray for salvation for their parents. Do never, ever, ever give up on praying for the salvation of the souls. First and foremost, for the people that you love. And if you want to include anybody in between and after that, just do it. Just pray for the salvation of souls. Hallelujah. Amen. Right? Do not consider it a light thing. Do not consider it to be just prayers of empty words. They're very powerful and effective prayers. It is a God prayer to pray the prayer of salvation for a soul. Amen? Right, Trevor? Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Where's the Lord going to take us from here today? Are we going deep? We're going to talk about the deep end today. That's like all I'm going to talk about this morning is the deep, dark depths. Our granddaughter Addie, I don't know where she came up with that. If I haven't shared it before, it's the funniest thing. I don't know if it was in playing with her sister, the creative mind that she has, and it's a very creative mind that she has. Because I've learned, not only raising four kids, but now having three grandkids, that, and I could say this with all, just, I don't know, transparency, is I've discovered that the person that tries to get out of doing work the most is the most creative. Right, Hunter? I have a son and we have a granddaughter that they just are so just, they have a knack, they have an ability to try to figure out a way to get out of doing stuff more than anybody. And there's this creativeness that's in there. Anyway. And she was playing and she's talking about the deep, dark depths. And I asked her what that means and she just couldn't describe it other than it's the deep, dark depths. So I want to talk about what that is this morning, because as Robin and I were praying for somebody this week together, something happened in that prayer, is that when we were praying for God to do something and intervene in a small matter, the Lord revealed to her, and so she shared it with me, that this small matter may be small, but it goes into the depth of that person's, it's rooted into the deep, dark depths of their makeup, and it's rooted deep into their soul and into their heart. So I felt compelled by the Spirit to go there, because as we're praying for people, as we're dealing with our own self Sometimes it's the deep, dark rootedness of issues of my life that I don't even know what's going on. And sometimes that stuff comes out. And so I want to talk about that because this is an interesting subject, and not just as a subject, but really as an answer. You know what? As I was sitting here this morning, I'm thinking, boy, preachers have this weird thing that they got to do. They got to present an issue and a problem, give about three different wrong solutions, and then give you the right one, and all, end it all in about 45 minutes. That's my attempt this morning. Good grief, get out of here. Man, kind of irritating. Kind of, yeah, that was a long one, huh? Oh, yeah. I wasn't talking to you. Stay seated, brother. You're good. You're good right where you're at. John chapter 13, Jesus, right before he's ready to basically surrender his life so that we can have life at the Last Supper, and he's at the table. The Feast of Passover, this is a verse starting in verse 1. It says, "Now before the Feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come and that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God." That's the deep, dark depths of Jesus' soul right there. Knowing God the Father is transcendent. Knowing that God the Father is in charge of all. Knowing that God the Father was on board and it was God's will for Jesus to walk through this moment. But Jesus knowing something else, and this is really neat, and I don't like the word, but it's just really cool. Knowing where he had come from and where he was going. I don't know about the rest of you, but have you ever just something blurted out of your mouth and you said, "Where the heck did that come from?" Has that ever happened to anybody? Has something come out? Or how about this? Maybe it didn't actually get to your tongue. Maybe there was an emotion, though, that just sprung up from somewhere and you said, "Where did that come from?" Brother George and I were just way too alike sometimes because we laugh at each other. We laugh at ourselves more than anybody else. I laugh at myself at how instantly I can become angry at the slightest things and then just laugh at myself and say, "Where did that come from? Where did that anger come from? Where did that frustration come from? All they were doing was driving down the road and cutting me off and honking at their horn, and instantly I'm just like, where did that come from?" Here's where it comes from. The deep, dark depths of my soul. Hello? Jesus is still the only one ever and ever will be to have known all and exactly where he came from and where he was going. So much so that at this point he was able to take off his garments and wash his disciples' feet. Put himself lower than them, even though he was getting ready to be elevated above and exalted above all, to where all authority, all power was going to be placed into his hands. That's awesome. And still he was able to go and serve because he knew where he had come from. He knew where he was going. Man, so as I'm looking at this in my own very self, I'm like, wow. How much of my daily operation do I does come from something that is not of God or something that is of God. So I came across this proverb, which I have always thought it was a fantastic one. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Right? That's going back to what I said. It's like all of a sudden something springs up in me, and it's from the depths of my very heart. Hello? Are you guys with me? Anybody else have something just spring up within you that is from the depths of your heart that you didn't know was there? Yeah, just every once in a while. All right. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about it. Let's present the problem. Let's find the solution. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The kingdom that you believe in, the kingdom that you believe you have within you, the kingdom that you believe that you have within you will be the kingdom that you reproduce around you. In other words, what you believe to be dwelling inside you, who you believe to be dwelling, residing, lording in your life is what is going to come out of you. So it takes understanding and wisdom and discernment to say, okay, can I look at my life? Can I look at the things that are springing up out of my life and say that's from God or that's of my own flesh? This is neat. When you get your inside world in line with the kingdom of God, you will live out your true identity in Him. So I think we need to start asking this question. This is where we're going to go for just a brief moment. What declarations, what names do you need to be broken free from in your life? What have people spoken into your life that you have internally agreed with and even owned, and you've planted them down and rooted them down into the deep, dark depths of your soul? I know I keep saying that word, and I know it's, but because I think it's relevant to what I think it happens in us is, and I'll go here for a moment because I believe this is where the Lord wants me to go, even in my own personal life, is the words and the spirit of what gets planted into a young soul, a child, so much so penetrates and impacts and gets dug down and it gets rooted into the depth of a child's soul at an early age, obviously. And that's why Jesus, he was really, really adamant about how we infected children, for good or for bad. It was the places where he actually became indignant, angry over that which was spoken into children's lives or portrayed into children's lives, because it was the innocence of children that which was rooted down deep to now there is something that needed to be dealt with for the rest of their life. And All of us, I think I don't know if there's a single one of us that are not in this room that we deal with the issues of life that stem from a childhood, that we got to deal with the rooted issues of life. You know, why is it that we could be walking with the Lord for 20 years and something just springs up, like whether it be something that invokes a fear or even an anxiety, an anger in us, that it will spring up from within us. Where is that coming from? Isn't it not coming from that which has been implanted into us and rooted deep down into us? To where we have to deal with that, to where we're looking at that and say, what do I do with this? You know, do we... avoid it? Do we just pretend it's not there? Or do we excuse it? Do we medicate it? What do we do with it? What do we do with the issues of my life? What do I do with them? Do I express it and say, I'm just being me? What do I do with the issues of my heart that are rooted down into my depths of my soul? Amen. That's really the answer. That's really good, Donna. Did you sneak in my notes? You did. You did. You snuck them. Yes, you did, huh? Yeah. With this, that's what going on in Robin and I's life right now is just an awesome opportunity to uproot the issues of these young boys' hearts that are down in there, uproot them and toss them into the sea. That's what Jesus said is the only answer. He said the only answer for the issues of the rootedness that's going, that roots that, in fact, he calls it a bitter root that digs deep into your soul, is to take it, uproot it, and not just uproot it and throw it away, but he says toss it into the sea to where it's forever gone. That's the only answer. So how do we do this? And so, you know, as I look into my own testimony and my own life and my own stories, I'm looking at the places that God took, uprooted the issues of my heart and tossed them into the sea, were the places that I brought to light, surrendered them to the cross of Christ, and said, now you, Jesus, replace that. You, Jesus, come in and consume that area, consume that place that once was taken up by an issue in my life that was rooted down in there that was not of you. The names that I was called as a child were names that I took on, were names that mostly it was all in smallness. Some of them, they're really R-rated, the things that I was called as a child by men in my life, stepdads mostly, that spoke littleness into my life. Maybe I was a little guy. I don't know. Maybe I was just annoying. I don't know. But these things were spoke into my life of littleness. I look at that now and I'm thinking, wow. So you know what happens? That has to be replaced, because here's what happens. If I don't replace it, every time somebody refers to me as little, useless, non-essential, of no good, guess where I go? I go to that root. And if that hasn't been uprooted, I'll go there and I'll own the littleness and become little again. You guys hearing that? So many women in this room, I know, and it's not just because I know personally, but I know generally, have been spoken into a worthlessness, rejection. If you don't do this, I will throw you away. And it produces a performance mode, and it produces something that, As soon as something comes about to where there's a fear of being cast away, a fear of losing out, a fear of even doesn't even have to be real. It could just even be something that is even conveyed as possibly missing, losing, or losing the what you have now, and instantly you go to a place of anxiety, worry, and fear that you're gonna lose it all. So what do we do with it? Bring it to the light. bring it to the light. And I believe that what we do with it is we get free. We set ourselves. We get free by the power of Jesus. Jesus said that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that freedom, freedom, true freedom is in being in Christ. And if Christ has set us free, then we are free indeed. And knowing who we are in Christ, knowing that what God says of us is truth. Hello? 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. You matter, and you're not little. You're so not little that Jesus, the Son of God, with God's ordained plan, gave His life because He saw the value in your life. That's how not little you are. And that's how precious and valuable and worth you are. Every one of us. Every single one of us. Amen? Amen. I wanted to share this, and I think it's so awesome. I'm hoping I could do it. I'm going to try it. I'm going to try to do something. This movie clip. Oh, look at that. Let's see. Okay, come on. Okay. Did it go? Yeah, okay. All right. Are we up? Are we up? Hit the lights. Come on, hit the lights. This is awesome. Okay, today. There you go.
Leave, Roland. Let them have me.
God love you, William. So do I.
Go! Disperse! Or I will fall you! Because Jesus crossed the Nazarene, and His most holy mother, the Virgin Mary, are my witnesses! I will fall you! I will rip the fist and blood and stigmatization! Pain! Lots of pain!
It's the best movie ever. This is the best part of the movie.
You're in trouble.
Listen to me!
Both trying to hide who we are, both unable to do so. Your men love you. If I knew nothing else about you, that would be enough. But you also tilt when you should withdraw. And that is knightly too.
Release him.
You may appear to be of humble origins, but my personal historians have discovered that he is descendant from an ancient royal line. This is my word, and as such is beyond contestation. Now, if I may repay the kindness you once showed me, take a knee. Vested in me by my father, King Edward, and by all the witnesses here, I dub thee Sir William.
Sir William.
eyes, Sir William. And you joust.
What?
Is my tournament to finish? Now, are you fit to compete, or shall the forfeit stand?
No, I'm fit.
I shall have your opponent informed of it. You look for his shield on the lists at once.
Thank you, my lord.
Okay. No, I don't know what's on next. YouTube plays some funky videos after you play one. What I'd like you to see in that is, and you guys, that's a scene from A Knight's Tale. It's one of our family's favorite movies. It's actually, you ask Blake too, and Robin, and she'll tell you, yeah, it's one of our favorites. Just going to ask some questions, and let's talk about this for a little bit more. Question that I'd like you to really contemplate and seriously consider. Would your life look any different if you actually believed that the words of Jesus were beyond contestation? Now, if you actually looked into what Jesus said of you, to you, about you, for you, and you said those words are words that are beyond contestation because they have authority. They have the authority of God the Father into your life, into your world, into your very soul, into the depths of who you are, and they are beyond contestation. Would your life look any different? And if there is any answer to that, if you say yes to anything, that you would say, yes, there's something in my life that would be different if I actually believe that. You have to really dig deep into your very soul to find out the answer. Then we need to ask ourselves, what's the holdup? Why am I not? Is there something that's hindering me from really trusting and obeying and listening to and believing, really believing, not just agreeing with it to be even kind of, sort of, maybe true, but believing that the words of Jesus are beyond contestation. I love that line. That's like my favorite line, and I think of all moviedom. All movies ever made, that is the line of all lines. And I like even Christian movies, and I still think that one's the best. I like it a lot. Yes, it is my favorite. Okay. Let's dig deep into it. Yes.
Can I just say,
absolutely, you could say. I'm hoping somebody would be involved in this too. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, I think there's a couple of you guys like stole my notes, didn't you? Like, because there's actually this line and phrase that I wrote down in this. I'm going to skip ahead and then I'll come back and we'll go back through it. I believe it to be said is, and this is kind of what Mitzi, you're saying, I'm going to sum it up. If any one of us were to see what God has created us to be and designed us to do, wouldn't we choose the abundant life that God has for us? And the answer is 100% yes. And would we reject anything that God, that is not a part of that? And yes, if we knew, if we saw and understood what God has prepared for those that love Him and are called to do His bidding, would we choose God? Yes. Yes. So the holdup sometimes is the deep-rooted issue that sometimes hinders my very mindset from seeing it. It's the brain damage that has gone on. It's the stuff that has We have owned lies and rejected truth. And I believe it to be that which God has called us to be and do right now is to own truth and reject lies. In the name of Jesus, by the power of His Spirit, right now here this morning. Amen. Say it, declare it. I own truth and I reject lies. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's dig deep. Proverbs 20, verse 5. I'm going to finish this up and just smack the devil. I like how he said that other line. It's like, you have an opponent that's waiting for you, but you have been serviced to be a champion for Christ. That's good. That's not in the movie. That's right here and now. You have been dubbed a knight. A knight in the King's kingdom. You have an opponent. He's waiting for you. Yes. Oof. Get smacked, devil, right now. He's going to get smacked. Sorry. Get excited. Yeah. Proverbs 20, verse 5. Yeah, there it is. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. What does that look like? The understanding begins in knowing where I came from, where I come from. Job 12:22 says this, is God, this is Job in his answering to some of his accusers, he uncovers deep things out of darkness and brings the shadow of death to light. Whoa, did you hear that? That's awesome. I want you to, let's look at that again. Because it's really awesome. God uncovers the deep things out of darkness and brings the shadow of death to light. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. God the Father gives Jesus the authority and the Holy Spirit the power to search our hearts and set us free. Come on. Oh man, Yeah. Let me just, I'm just going to dial this in really fast because I think this is, it's just going to sum it up really quick. And this isn't, I know there's so much to this that we can delve into. But do we just have a realization? Do we realize that the entirety of the Christian life is about the presence of Jesus? If we make it anything else, we've made it religion. We've made it works. Or we've made it a program or a club. And good programs and good clubs are good, but they're not the answer. The answer of answers. It's the presence of Jesus. The presence of Jesus. I'm going to read this. This is one of the places in the Bible that Jesus says some things that I'm thinking, what? Why do you got to blow us up like this? But listen to this. Luke chapter 11, starting verse 24, says, and this is Jesus dealing with an unclean spirit. He says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. But listen to this phrase that Jesus says, and when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. And then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. What on earth is he referring to, and what's he talking about here? How can, this is where we get into a little bit of a discussion and conflict and even this is controversy, is Jesus says, swept and put in order. Doesn't that look like a good life? How many of us are just looking to get our lives put in order? Right? And swept clean and put in order. Hello? That, right? But Jesus says, if your house your life is just simply swept clean and nice and orderly, guess what you're open to? Being worse off. That's weird. I don't know. That's weird. That seems backwards in my mindset. But what is Jesus really saying there? Let's really just dig into the deep darkness of the depths of our very mindset and heart and soul. Listen to this. If you try to put anything in place that isn't Jesus in your life as an answer, it may look and it may be swept clean and put in order, but it is not the answer for the deep darkness of your very soul. Hello? Amen. The presence, being a Christian, is the presence of Jesus. It's being in the presence of Jesus. The presence of Jesus is what it is to be a Christ follower, a Christian. What that is also saying, listen to this, because we seem to get focused on this so easily. It's not just the absence of sin. So many times we as Christians, we make Christianity to be out something totally opposite of what it actually is. Stop sinning. Stop sinning. It's almost, have you ever experienced a peace of God, the peace of God, in the middle of a storm? Then doesn't it make sense, isn't it 100% true, that the peace of God that he is wanting to give to you, he says, my peace I give to you, but not the peace of the world. It's a peace that you cannot hold on to, grapple with. It's a peace that, but in other words, the peace that I'm giving you is my presence. That you could be in the midst, in the right smack in the middle of a storm, and my presence will overtake that peace, and it will surpass all understanding. So peace, the peace of God, is not the absence of chaos and turmoil. Right? But we want that to happen, don't we? I mean, but don't we do that? Don't we do that? God, I want you to be involved in this. I want you to be in this. So if, you know, remove this, 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 and that, and it will all be good. God just does that. He laughs. He says, that's not what it's about. But if you look to just be with me, I'll walk you through that. And I'll be with you in the midst of chaos, turmoil, stress. Amen. Amen. Isn't that good news? That's really good news. That goes for joy. Joy, the joy of the Lord isn't to where I'm happy because everything's working out. All my bills are paid. My wife likes me. My kids are being good. My, you know, all these things that's not joy. Joy of the Lord is when in the midst of chaos, I still find my joy as my strength in the Lord. Hallelujah. How about love? Love isn't where we all get along with each other. You guys are all really nice people. It's easy to love you people. Why'd you guys laugh? Because you guys are loving. You're lovable. Yeah, that is funny too. That was funny, yeah. But love always is challenged. Love only is love when it requires a commitment to do something, to be something that is difficult, and to have patience and kindness and mercy and goodness, and to stick. That's love, right? So you know, when I know I bless Brother Mike when he compels us to say hi to each other. I like that because it is, it's like getting it out of the way too. You know, we're loving each other. That is real. It's good. Don't just like, that's really good. But where real love comes into play is when we're challenged. When we're challenged by somebody, right? I don't know how many, all of us, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. True humility only comes with knowing. Knowing Jesus, in the presence of Jesus. Because you see, a false humility, I could pretend to be humble. Have you ever been in the presence of somebody pretending to be humble? It's pretty comical. It's almost like everybody knows it but them. Right? Right? Okay. It's all attained in the presence of Jesus. The presence of Jesus is the answer for all things in life. The issues of my heart that go down into the deep, dark depths of my soul are still Jesus. Always will be, always have been. Hallelujah. That is freeing, and it's good news, because I know I don't have the answer. I know I am not the answer, and I know I can't be good enough to be the right answer for even my own life, let alone for other people's lives. It's Jesus and only Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray, because we're out of time. And, well, Father God, we just thank you. Thank you for your love for us that is beyond even comprehension. In our prayer this morning, and I'm asking all of us to align ourselves with the kingdom of God within us that's working within us. Our prayer is that we would see and understand and believe your words, which are beyond contestation, and walk in who you have called us to be. So I'm asking you, Father God, by the grace of your Son, Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit, to reveal to us, just give us a glimpse. Give us what we can handle and see and understand and receive, a glimpse into who you have created us to be and what you have designed us to do, so that we will choose you. Give us a taste of your goodness in Jesus' name by your Spirit. As we worship you one last time this morning, as we worship you, may your Spirit permeate our very beings, our very soul, and dig down into the depths of our very soul and pull you out to where you spring out of my heart. You spring out of the issues of my life. You spring up when I'm challenged in the midst of trials. You spring up in all things in my life. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst. Thank you for your love for us. Hallelujah and glory, amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.